All right, I'm going to try and lead into this as naturally as possible. So,
horse pussy.
Jeez fucking Christ.
That's awful.
That's natural, isn't it?
What, like that it occurs in nature naturally?
Or no, that would transition? Just, I mean, that too, but just that transition, that segue. I feel like that's a very BNL type segue.
Well, if by that you mean it sucks, then yeah, you're absolutely right.
Welcome to another Beer and Loathing podcast. Holy shit, we've done two. It's been 2 weeks. Don't start to think that we're going to do these weekly. This is just a fucking fluke. Anyway, I'm joined by Sam Sly. Sam Sly. My name's Petem. We're also joined by our good friend and one of our first ever podcast guests, Michael Biddick from Sagatuck Brewing Company.
How's it going?
Good.
Great.
A lot better now that you're here.
Aw, isn't that cute?
Indeed.
Yeah.
So.
What's new, guys?
You know, stuff, things, beers, not really any ladies. What about yourself?
Lots of beers, lots of traveling. I'm married, so there's only one lady.
Attaboy. Yeah, actually, so... Since you've last been on, I think you had just started at Sagatuck, and that was probably a year or two ago. What you been up to lately? I follow, you know, you on Facebook and stuff, and it seems like you're... I know, totally. I'm watching because you are at a beer festival every fucking, like, weekend, it seems like. So I'm stalking you and all the beers you're slinging around the freaking state of Michigan.
Yep, and I celebrate my 2-year anniversary this December. I'm officially now the Michigan sales director, so I cover the whole state of Michigan. I have one employee so far.
Nice.
And then I also cover Toledo, falls underneath me. But yeah, hire some more people here soon in the future and get our team going and rocking the state of Michigan, plus some other states we've got opening up these days. But yeah, I do a lot of festivals in the summer.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I think most of the sales reps I know, they're festival machines. So for whatever reason, it just seemed like you were doing a lot more. Maybe you were just better at publishing them than other people I know. But
It's technically illegal in Michigan, but we still do it.
Well, this is being recorded in Denver, so hopefully that won't fall into any...
Oh, no, you don't have a license or an account or anything, but you're good.
Okay, awesome. Well, that's good to know. Well, you drinking anything special for the occasion or... You know, it is Monday night. I could understand if you're just, you know, having water.
No, unfortunately, I don't have anything cracked open yet. I was working on spreadsheets and annual business plans and 2016 planning, so I was wrapped into work.
That seems like the best time to crack a beer.
True, but I was too focused.
Yeah. Pete, what about you?
I actually just cracked open a barrel-aged Neapolitan milk stout from last year working that beer fest at Sagatuck.
Oh,
you held on to one this long, huh?
I did. I actually have two left, yeah. I had the, it was between this and the Imperial Stout. I was like, Java Stout's 22 ounces. I'm going to go with the 12, and I'm going to go with Neapolitan. Actually, that's what Lee suggested, so I went with that.
Did you get a chance to get any of the new stuff?
Not yet.
What's the new stuff? Oh, just the new year of...
2015, yeah.
Gotcha.
Second year we've done it now, officially.
Right on. It went over. Is it pretty much the same recipe, or did you guys change anything up?
Yep, same recipe.
Nice.
Holy shit, dude. It's a lot better than I remember drinking it. I mean, it was good when I first drank it, but like after letting it sit for
it's pretty impressive that beer's held up this long.
Yeah, it tastes delicious.
Being a milk stout and not a high ABV, it's you never know what you're going to get after, you know, 6-7 months. So
yeah.
That one holds
good to hear.
Yeah. Good shit. I'll say that.
Well, I wasn't able to have any Sagatuck beer for the podcast, Michael. I drank everything that you sent me, basically.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think I can't tell if this is one you sent me or if this is an old one from before, but I am drinking an Expedition Stout, so I'm keeping it Michigan right now.
Oh, right on.
a 14, I think, I believe, recently.
Then this is probably the one you sent me. This one was from August of 2014.
Yeah. Yep.
So this is just over a year old, and we'll go. We're drinking aged beers, and there I mean, this stuff ages awesome every time I get it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that beer has like pretty much been for aging.
So I got to ask, Michael, did you try the Colorado Native I sent back to you?
Yes, the Coors Banquet.
No, there's. I thought I sent an actual Colorado Native too.
Oh yeah, she did. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but the banquet was that was my pride and joy.
Yeah. We drank all those that same night. We opened the box. I think we put them in the fridge and just drank them.
that was the best way to enjoy them.
I think. Figured fresher is the better.
So a little bit of background. So I used to live in Grand Rapids, and Michael and I were talking about doing some beer trading. And my parents were driving out here from Michigan as well, so I totally whored my family out and had my sister go meet up with Michael. Michael gave my sister Allison a big old box of beer, who she then gave to my parents, drove it 1,200 miles along with a 12-pack of Two Hearted to me, and then in return I gave them a box of beer to send back to Michael, and being the cheeky motherfucker that I am, I sent him some Coors Banquets and I actually like the Colorado Native. I don't mind that beer. It's you know, it's not the best beer on the planet, but allegedly we can only get that in Colorado. So that one's a true, like, Colorado find for you.
There you go. Yeah, I sent you a bunch of high-end beers, and I got some Coors Banquet.
Hey, now, you got some Crooked Stave back. And,
yeah, true.
And I still got a couple more sitting here that I'm going to send you back, so.
You pretty much you used your family as like beer mules.
Yeah.
Great idea.
I mean, not a bad way to go about it, to be honest.
Saved us, what, 15 to 25 bucks in shipping?
Yeah. I mean, I bought a few extra beers for like my sister for being the intermediary and stuff. But other than that, yeah, it was.
Everybody was a winner.
Everybody came out on top, I think.
Nice.
So, well, I think mine as well. Oh, wait, no, actually, I forgot that some of the talking we were doing was before we even started here. I just want to hear real quick, Michael, you came out here for GABF, and we never really did an official episode, and I didn't actually go this year. So I was curious what your experience was as like a brewer, because I know that when you came out before, you were pretty much a pedestrian or whatever.
Yeah, I came out 2 years ago and was just there to be there with friends and stuff like that. They're in the industry, and it was fun, kind of overwhelming. And then this year we went as a first time as a brewery. We came out there. So we entered, I think, 6 beers. We had a booth the whole weekend. So we had to do our hour and a half each day behind the booth. And, it, you know, it was kind of fun to just kind of sit back there and talk to people. And, you know, people coming from Florida, California, and different parts of all the world, just not knowing who you were and trying your beers and, you know, being excited about a few of them. Neapolitan was a huge interest this year. That's our flagship beer, the base, you know, the regular Neapolitan. So it was cool to talk to people about that were coming up to the booth. And then obviously walking around it, it's insane.
It's my wife animal house.
Yeah. My wife was with me this year and she's not the biggest beer fan. But we did happen to find some, you know, sours that she liked and some other fruit based beers that she really was digging on. So, kind of got to walk around with her and just kind of search for beers that made her happy and actually got to drink a lot of sours, which is fun. So
that's
Man, I love sours.
Yeah,
you guys can have them.
Yeah, she's officially in love with Avery sours, I think, officially now.
Well, yeah, so two of those bottles I still have I need to send you are some of the Avery ones and the Eldolia, and that's actually a sour I can really get on board with, so I think you guys will like that one a lot. But this was the first year that they expanded the halls too. So I mean, did you notice that at all? Like, was it
they had
noticeably huger? Okay.
Yeah, they had another section this year where they did like meet the brewer. So if you had somebody that you signed up to meet the brewer, they had a whole other section for people that had their brewer actually there or something like that, and you got to meet some, you know, different breweries, brewers.
That's badass. I like that they're pushing that aspect of getting more of the brewers there, because I think I first went 6 or 7 years ago, and I thought there was going to be just a bunch of people from the breweries standing behind the you know, the tables serving the beer and stuff, and it was all volunteers, which, you know, it's cool. Some of them, you know, knew a little bit about the beers. Some of them did not. But I do like that they have more involvement from the breweries and stuff, because I think there are a lot of people that do still go and you know, they're not looking just to go get shit faced. They want to go and learn a little bit about the beers and see the people behind them and stuff.
And when you think about it, it does make sense that, you know, you're not going to get send a full staff of people to be on rotation for specific breweries, you know, because I thought that same thing. And then I eventually realized these people aren't actually from the brewery. They're just volunteers at GABF and drinking the beers and stuff. But then you really think about it, you're like, that would be fucking impossible and very expensive to send that many people out to do like rotating shifts. But, you know, luckily, especially if you're like an East Coast brewery or something, you know.
Yep. Yeah, it's not cheap. It was fun.
Yeah, man. It was good to hanging out with you that first day at Star Bar.
Yes. The pre-party before the party.
Yeah, but I didn't know I was going to. I thought that we were just having a couple of afternoon beers, and then I
made it into a whole day.
Yeah. Kind of. Woke up on the air mattress in my living room that I was reserving for you.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
good times. I slept in the streets. It's cool.
Hey, well, you know, it was a warm weekend, so it could have been worse times to sleep.
If our one guest or if our one listener isn't picking it up, Sam dropped the ball and was supposed to house Michael for a night on the air mattress and fucking passed out before Michael could get up into the room.
I dropped the ball hard. I was supposed to help him go pick up his wife the next day. There was a whole bunch of shit that I didn't do. So
yeah, luckily I have other friends too.
Yeah, exactly. Unlike me, I have just like the one, so I have no backups. Out. Yeah. Well, next time, I'll plan better, or just, you know, not offer. Don't set the expectations.
Not set yourself up for failure.
Yeah, don't set the expectations so high.
Yeah.
Interesting side note to sours and how much I love them. The first time, well, the only time that I've ever been out to GABF was last year, and there was like a pretty big group of us, right? There was like 5-6 that with Ryan Hannigan, and
on that Friday there was almost 12 of us at that point. It was fucking huge.
So we're just like navigating around, and I told Ryan I like sours. He's like, "Oh, dude, I need to get you to these sours." So like, I'm following Ryan around drinking all these sours, and the next day I woke up and took a shit, and it was the weirdest smelling shit I've ever taken in my entire life, because like it smelled sour. I was really grossed out by it. Jeez. I don't know if you remember me walking out of the bathroom being like, "Oh my god, what the fuck just happened to me?"
I don't know, man. I might have still been trying to wipe the hangover out of my eyes and trying to kick the sweats I had going on.
GABF just smells like a big fart.
Yeah,
it does, dude.
We encountered a lot of crop dusting last year.
Yeah, my wife was not very excited about that.
Yeah, I can't imagine she would be. It was, and you know, we did some investigative journalism and asked a bunch of people about how many farts they've been smelling, and a lot of people were you know, sniffing what was being farted there. It was gross.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you liked sours, Pete, because that gave Ryan such joy. Like, I could see his eyeballs light up when you said I like sours. He's like, "All right, we're going here.
Let's do this."
Because he knows I'm not a fan, and it's not that I don't like him. I'm just, I have a threshold of how sour I can handle before. It's just, I feel like I'm drinking liquid heartburn.
Yeah. And that's why I take a Meprazole. Well, not for that, for multiple other things, but
I just go after it.
Just get some. Yeah, there you go.
Just get it. Leave the gas X on the counter.
Drink through the pain, baby.
Yep.
All right.
So what else is up, gentlemen?
Well, we've been toying with some new kind of games here on the podcast.
Trying to make it more of like an interactive game. So not only does our guest play, but
what do I win?
You win our respect, maybe, and admiration. Maybe.
Sweet.
You win the chance to come back on again.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah,
since we've had you on like 3 times, and I've never been like not ever again with this guy.
Yeah.
Good. The good thing is, though, I have a new question format that I'm going to use tonight that I wanted to bust out for you, Michael.
Should we dive right in with that one, Pete, or should we warm up with some other ones? Because I'm game.
I see we alternate. You can go first, man. You go first, and then I'll do mine, and then we'll just go back and forth. I have 3 questions, so
okay. Well, I might not.
I might even get to 2 of them.
I got one that I posted to Twitter earlier today, so I'm going to just start with this one, make sure we have time to go for it. So, Michael, you're familiar with the game Would You Rather, right?
Yes.
All right. So, would you rather hate the taste of alcohol, or have an orgasm feel like bee stings?
Hate the taste of alcohol.
All right. Actually, so, what were you saying, Pete?
I said that was really quick, that response.
Yeah, he did not hesitate at all. And actually, now I was expecting more time to look this up, because this is one of the better responded surveys I've ever done on Twitter. Ever since this new survey like function came up, it's been my little pet.
What were your results?
I'm looking them up right now. Oh, okay. I did, yeah. So we had
you're not prepared, is what you're saying.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know why anyone expect me to be prepared, because that's not my style. But so we had 9 people respond, and 6 of them said they'd rather hate alcohol instead of have ouchgasms. And so I feel like you're right in line with everybody else at that point.
Not much to think about there, is there?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, alcohol.
Maybe you could get so drunk that when you have sex, an orgasm, then
just don't beat off in the bathroom. Forget it hurt.
Yeah, you either forget it hurt, forget that it even hurts, or that you can't feel it. I don't know.
Drink so much you get whiskey dick, and you don't have to worry about that problem.
I mean, both are pleasures, and you know, both stimulate the pleasure zone. But what would you really want to give up? I mean, that's the big question there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Fuck it. I just start smoking more pot.
Yeah, there's always alternatives.
Yeah, just I jump on the pot bandwagon at that point.
There you go.
You're not on the pot bandwagon already?
Of course not, dude. That's illegal in Michigan.
Well,
yeah, we don't live in Colorado.
That's right. I forget. I just, you know, it's been so long. I just forget where I am sometimes. But
a law-abiding citizen.
One person that did like respond. It's always funny to do these surveys on Twitter, because people will, you know, respond to me. You can't see who actually votes, but people will just, you know, physically respond to it, like in a conversation. And this girl I follow and follow back with in New Jersey, Jenny Luhu, she just pretty much embraced it and said, you know, hold on, let me find that tweet, because I'm really on the fucking ball today. She said, I had to think about bee sting orgasms for a minute, but what's a little pain? So I feel like that means that she's just like, yeah, whatever. She's down with it.
That's all right.
Then there was another person that just said I was a sick, sick person. So,
this is the new one, Michael, and it's what I call good news, bad news, and it's basically like the game that you play where you're like, you get $3 million, but you have to step on nails every fifth step for the rest of your life, something like that, you know.
Gotcha.
So like you get something good, but in return, you have to pay for it with something terrible. So here, the first one is, the good news is, beer now grows on trees, and you are offered seeds for some of the best in the world, your favorites. The bad news is, it needs bull semen to grow that needs to be extracted orally, and that means, yes, you have to suck a bull's dick for semen to grow this tree of excellence. Would you want, I mean, do you have what it takes to grow the beer tree, basically?
I would drink shitty beer for the rest of my life. Bring on the Paps. Bring on the Bush Light. Keystone, here I come.
You'll find all sorts of variety in those corn-fueled lagers.
Oh, I will gladly drink shitty beer.
Pete, I love how you phrase that, though. Do you have what it takes or whatever? That you sound like Omak from Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Do you have what it takes?
To suck the dick of the golden bull.
Your guys' questions are off the collar.
Yeah.
We're like off the chain, baby.
Yeah.
So, Pete, I actually, when you told me this one earlier today, not only did I laugh hysterically, I actually had a very hard think about, wow, I wish I wouldn't have said hard.
Hard thing, Sam.
Shit. This Expedition Stout, folks, it goes right to your head.
Brazen.
No, I had a long, long, God damn it. You know what? You can't even talk about this anymore without making it sound terrible. So I thought about it for a long time.
Dude, you tried and failed and then tried and failed again.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I like laughing at it, Sam.
That's not the first time I've heard that.
What's your guys' answer?
That's what I was trying to get to. And
starts like long and hard.
Yeah, I couldn't quite make up my mind. I'm trying to do it right now, and I don't think I could do it. Because I like PBR enough, I think I'd be with Michael just cheersing with a fucking like ice house or something. Like, oh, well, here we go.
Yeah. Black Label is only $4 for a six pack. I don't really care. You're still getting
alcohol. Like, you're still getting booze. I don't need any dickin' bull or not bull or what it. I don't care whose it is.
So what we can.
So that's child's play. That first one was child's play. I'm just getting you warmed up for the next time that I ask a question. It's gonna be a fucking a rack on your moral compass.
Oh, good. Lord. I can't wait for the next one because I at least knew that one was coming.
I'm excited.
All right, so I got one more. Would you rather? Okay. Would you rather time travel backwards and enjoy the beers from our, you know, our ancestors and beers from the past, like the original beers, and or made by the ancients? That's how I originally worded it because I don't ever read anything I write. Or would you rather time travel forward and try the beers that our future society would be creating?
I gotta go back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could find out where it came from, and the history of it all is the most intriguing part.
Yeah.
I mean, the future is probably going to be blueberry IPA. not blueberry, but blue cheese IPA for all I know.
Well, that was actually kind of the same thought line I had. And when I wrote this question up, I was like, I would go back too, because as a home brewer myself, and like a lot of the things that are going on in beer right now, is people are like, well, is this beer true to style, or are they just making some fucking wacky flavored beer? And I wouldn't mind going back and seeing what like a brown was like back in the 1800s when it was actually brewed with all brown grain and not have any two row and stuff in it. You know,
or even the first wild ale that they made. You know, it's just the aha moment of like someone goes, aha, this is drinkable and it's not bad. It's better than the water.
This isn't going to kill us.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool to live through that, like the aha moment, to see what these guys were like. Oh my god, this is doable. We can drink this and get drunk and hey, happy. Before they knew what drunk was.
The more they drank it, the better of an idea it seemed like getting, and they probably didn't understand why that was.
Exactly. So,
Pete, where do you stand?
I mean, I gotta say, A, that's a really good question. And B, it's weird because that ties into my good news, bad news. But I want to say I'd go back in time. I'd want to go to like a monastery and get like a beer fresh when they bottle it. Just drink it right there.
I don't think they bottled back
I
then.
Think they firkin
whatever all. I don't care.
Is that even can you verb firkin? Is firkin a verb?
Pete wants to go back to 1912.
Well, I was thinking like 1986. I'd just go to a monastery like a year before I was born. Right, I'd go to the monastery. See how the beer was back then, you know, before the world without Pete. A dark, dark place it was.
It was. I was there for a couple of years, and it was messed up.
Terrible. I just hear terrible stories. So I go back in time. But, okay, this one's kind of heavy. I wrote this, and I'm like, Jesus Christ. But okay. All right. The good news is you momentarily get a superpower, which enables you to see one disaster one day before it happens. You see a plane crash and see that you can save a plane full of people. You also see that the person who causes the crash gets away scot-free. The bad news is you have an opportunity to save the plane, but you also see that your youngest cousin is the person causing the crash, and you can only kill him with a broken beer bottle with no context to the rest of the family. He has no ties whatsoever. He has no documentation that says he's going to crash this plane, so you're just basically killing him in cold blood. Would you rather kill your cousin? So this is kind of a would you rather, but would you kill your cousin to save the plane, the people on the plane?
He gone. See ya. He's gone.
You just kill him with a beer bottle right away.
They cool. know. Did they have to know I did it though?
No, they'd never find out.
Yeah. See ya.
I mean, even if you were like, dude, I got superpowers, you could see that he was gonna cause a plane crash. People would be like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're insane.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell anybody. I'd just do it. And that's one weird way to fucking include beer.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's
a lot of stretch.
I mean, I don't know if we all, but we all should know that the beer bottle is my preferred assault weapon of choice. So
that's another reason I chose it.
Thanks. Yeah, I'd hate to say, but I think my cousin would be dead.
Yeah, I got plenty of other ones.
I do too, actually.
And I could go to bed at night happily because of knowing that I saved X amount of people.
On your cold, cold concrete slab in prison.
No, no one gets to know, I thought.
No one gets to... No, you go to prison, dude. You have to, like, suffer.
You didn't say that.
That's what I meant by, like, So by no context to the family, no context to society, you just kill somebody in cold blood. So everybody just looks at it like you just fucking killed this dude with a broken bottle.
Well, that was kind of an important piece of information.
Yeah. Damn it. I gotta go to jail?
Yeah, I mean, you're just killing this person in cold blood, so you get like the full extent.
I mean, I know.
So, like, if you try to explain it, like, I know that this dude who's gonna fucking crash a plane the next day, the judge would be like, that makes no sense whatsoever. That is retarded.
How many people on the plane?
How many people on the plane?
Yeah.
It's like, a 747, so.
So it's not like one of those little, like, six-seaters?
No. It's a big plane.
That's like 200 people.
What country are they from?
What barrier is that?
Let's not turn this into a whatever that might be. I don't even know what that'd be considered.
Kidding. Totally kidding. I'm brown, by the way, in case you don't know.
I know
it's
this
all
is
our favorite people. It's the Mexicans, the Americans, and the Canadians. It's just a group of just those people.
All of North America. We're not a very good cross section in North America.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. That's an effed up question.
You have to
talk about beer now?
What's that?
Can we just talk about some beer?
What kind of beer bottle is it? What beer am I killing this person with?
It's a Heineken bottle.
Okay, not worth it. I'll let it happen.
Yeah, and I don't think I want to spend the rest of my life in jail.
So wait, if you know the guy's going to get scot-free, I feel like, and I know this is just taking it in a direction you don't need to be taking it to, but you could go get some vigilante justice on the guy afterwards if he gets away scot-free. You know who it is.
True.
Yeah, but you could get vigilante justice before it happens.
But then you go to jail.
Absolutely nothing.
But then you go to jail if you plan it out afterwards and be like, oh, this guy just mysteriously died in his sleep from a slit throat. It's weird.
That's true. You could do that. There's no clause that says otherwise.
All right, let's talk about some beer things.
Yeah, what do you got next, Pete?
Jesus.
Is the next one heavier than this? Because maybe we'll
I put the heavy one right in the center. Like, I really wanted to see how you guys would react to, like, a really fucking heavy one, which I got a pretty good result out of that. So, good job, me. Thank you, me. All right, good news. Any beer, regardless of its rarity, is now available to you at 5 to 10% of the cost of what it would normally sell for in the store. You have one store that sells every single type of beer the world has to offer. The bad news is you live in a world that has a very harsh alcohol prohibition. If you get caught transporting or carrying booze in any way, you are sentenced to a minimum of 15 years in prison. Would you use the beer source?
Hell no, I'd learn how to make beer at home in my basement in the corner. No, I'm out. Why do you want to send me to jail every question? God. Or suck a dick. What is going on here?
It's go to jail or suck a dick. Okay. Those are the only two results I can come up with questions.
Pete's whole purpose in life is to figure out where everyone's moral compass is pointed.
It is.
What about, like, would you rather be on the island stuck with a stout or an IPA?
See, okay. So my questions are digging at the soul, Michael. I really want to find out who the people that we have on this show really are.
I'm going to church tomorrow now.
All right, so Pete, can you rephrase that again? Because I'll be honest with you, I didn't follow that whole line of whatever.
Sure. So I'll just read it again. Any beer, regardless of its rarity, is now available to you at 5 to 10% of the cost it would normally sell for in a store. So you just have one source. It's basically this giant beer store that has every beer in the world, and you can buy them.
Yeah, for dirt cheap. Okay.
For 10 cents. You can buy a bottle of, you know, $10 beer at 10 cents.
Yeah, okay.
The bad news is that you live in a world that has a very harsh alcohol prohibition, and if you get caught transporting or carrying booze in any way, you're sentenced to a minimum of 15 years in prison. So, I mean, you can have all these beers for super duper cheap, and if you're good at transporting them, you can have all the beer that you want from anywhere in the entire world for very, very cheap, but if you get caught, you're absolutely fucked because you're spending 15 years in prison.
As many times as I've been arrested, this is a tough one because I feel like I'm a pretty smart person, but the law and my record would say otherwise.
So I would just drink bourbon then.
But isn't it, you said prohibition, so it's any booze.
Yes. It's, you'd booze? Have to make your own. You'd have to fucking moonshine it or make some shit.
Or be super sneaky.
But I do.
Or be super sneaky and have a really good source for beer.
But I do make my own beer already. And, all right, so out of desire to not have us all answer the same way again, I'm going to go with I would do it. I would chance it. I would become a fucking super whisper. Sneaky. I'd become a whisper in the night with the best beers in the world slapped to my back, and I would become a ghost.
Because obviously the cops are going to watch the store, I'm assuming.
Well, I don't know. I didn't think that hard into it. I would assume so if they know that that's where the booze is coming from. But they might have shut it down already, right? So it might just
be. He just said it was a source. He didn't say it was a store. I mean, yeah, he did kind of save a store, but he said it was a source.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some of my ancestors are really good at digging tunnels.
See, there you go. Keep that in mind.
I'd totally do it. I mean, I'd make like a fucking spot in my car that had a secret compartment.
It'd be like an underground. It'd turn into an underground railroad for whales, bro. That's what it'd be.
There you go.
I think we could call it the Underground Whale Road.
Jesus. Yeah. You took it right where I needed to go. Thank you.
There you go.
Questionable at best. I think that's where Sam's train of thought always leads.
Question.
What's up?
It's a lot better question. It made me think I'm going to go to hell for saying the wrong answer. Yeah.
I said that's why I sandwiched them. So there's like a couple of light ones and then a really heavy one in the center that makes you think, takes you to a real dark place.
I mean, any question that doesn't involve murdering your family members or letting or let a plane full of people just die is probably a better question. Just going on a limb.
I think I'm gonna keep this up. I think I'm just gonna throw a really, really heavy one out there every time that good news, bad news.
Jeez.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
The future of good news, bad news.
So there goes all of the people
that, questions.
Whoever wants to come on our podcast in the future, just get ready. You're gonna be emotionally battered.
Yeah. You're gonna take a shower after the podcast.
That's perfect you said that, because I actually did tweet that if you thought some of the questions I asked earlier were good, Pete's question that he told me is going to make you want to hug yourself in the shower and cry. And that was the bull sucking dick question. I didn't know there was going to be one where I had to murder a fucking relative.
That bull's actually got nothing over that.
No, I would probably suck a bull's dick before I have to answer that question again.
Yes. That'd be the one case I would be like, okay, put it in.
Yep.
Noise. No noises.
No noises. Silence.
Silent tears.
Strong but silent. God. I want to go back to actually something Michael said, because Pete, you brought us down so far. So far.
Dude, I am so excited about that. You have no idea how much joy.
So I want to use, Michael, I want to use your would you rather, you actually just impromptu. Would you rather be stuck on a desert island with, what'd you say, a stout or an IPA?
Anything. Jesus, pick new styles.
Please.
Ale or lager, I don't care.
Well, let's go with stout or IPA, because I've actually had this debate before with people.
I'm going to say stout.
Oh, right.
It's a little hardier.
Sure.
You won't get hopped out.
Sure.
There's going to be nothing on the island to like cleanse your hop, because I get hopped out.
Flat out get hopped out. You get palate burnout I don't know if anyone actually says. I was about to say as they say it. I don't know if anyone actually uses that phrase ever.
Someone says this one time.
That's just one of my catchphrases.
Blown palate. Yeah.
Blown palate. That sounds a little. That sounds more aggressive. But
yeah, your head's still in the gutter. You're still thinking about bull.
Why wouldn't I? Mm-hmm. I live in a city that makes fucking bull testicle beer, dude. Help it.
That you enjoy.
I do enjoy it thoroughly. They had a barrel-aged version this year, and I loved it.
Nice.
Yeah.
So,
Pete, what about you? Stout or IPA on a desert island?
That's a really good question. My first reaction would be to say IPA.
Mm-hmm.
Because?
It's a desert island. It's like it's got to be hot.
Tropical, at least. You know, you're trying to
get water. Tropical.
Wait, there's going to be refrigeration, right? I hope. For these stouts.
Yeah. I'll dig a deep enough hole.
Would you rather drink a warm stout or a warm IPA then? If it's just there's no refrigeration.
That is a whole nother.
I think I'd have to get used to drinking IPAs warm, because I don't think I could drink stout continuously. Like, I really like stouts, but it's one of those. Sometimes it's like I can have like one or two or maybe four in a night, and I'm like, fuck, I've got to switch to something lighter.
Yeah. The only way to keep your IPA cold would be to extract the semen out of a dolphin.
Oh man,
my mouth.
It's all coming back. It's all coming back around and getting you back, Pete.
I had a turn.
And I would have the coldest IPAs on that island. That's for sure.
And the happiest dolphins.
Yeah, and the happiest dolphins. It saved me from sharks. I could ride them places. Not sexually. I would just ride them like horses.
Pete would just be making his war cry. Just like the dolphins.
Oh, God.
Fucking right. Smashing bottles to have broken bottles to stab people with.
Shoot it out the dolphins' blowholes. I had this exact conversation with some friends years ago, and I still don't know what I'd say, because I love IPAs and that they'd be the perfect complement for like desert drinking. But I am also a huge stout hound, man. I drink that shit all year round, no matter what. And I think I'd have to side with you and go with stouts, just because I don't get burned out on IPAs per se, but I just know at any time, anyway, if someone just offered me a stout, I'm like, yep, no problem. If like someone offered me an IPA, since I'm a huge drunk, I wouldn't say no, but I might be like, I'm in the mood, yeah, whatever, I don't give a fuck. So slightly less hesitancy.
Yeah. See, that was a lot easier question. That was nice and beer related, and
we can.
I still feel like I'm going to survive tomorrow, and
yeah. I don't like to keep it fluffy though. I like to just prod.
It's poke so
and
fluffy.
Rip.
The only fluffing you want to do is on that bull and your stupid first fucking question.
Exactly, or that dolphin.
Right.
If it's going to keep my beers warm, cool. Keep my beers from getting warm.
So basically, all we hear is if an animal's going to keep Pete's beers cold, he'll just do all unspeakable things to them.
So the podcast has kind of progressed slowly.
In some ways, yes. In a lot of ways, no.
No, not much. It's just a fucking deeper thought process.
I feel like today we might have taken a step back.
I'm glad I was.
I really like the question thing. I really like coming up with a series of questions.
And clearly you have issues.
And maybe not as dark or as deep as these my questions go, but yeah. I thought it'd be funny to do this to you, Michael. But
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Remind me to punch you in the balls next time I see you.
I will definitely remind you of that.
Give him one
Michael,
for me too.
Dude, I almost forgot. You need to sock me in the balls.
I would appreciate that.
Hey, I couldn't walk away and without letting you know that you're supposed to punch me in the dick, please.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'll write it on the back of my hand with ink pen.
Oh, perfect.
Well, good. Let's end this on a dick punch note to really just accentuate the route we've taken tonight. But Michael, thank you for joining us again.
I appreciate it.
I think so too. I don't know.
Dude, I am honestly very stoked that I fucked up everybody's night that badly. If you guys are being serious.
I had fun, but wow, I did not see that coming.
I had fun too. Thanks, Michael, for being on.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Well, take care. Enjoy. I know you have a busy week, so I hope it goes smoothly, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
You can keep up with us by catching the crazy Beer and Loathing podcast on iTunes and on our website, beerandloathing.com. You can also find us on all the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, and our YouTube channel, TuneIn, Get Drunk. You can also keep up with us on Instagram by tagging all of your photos with hashtag BNLPics. I don't care what you post. Post a picture of your boobs or your dick, whatever. You can post anything. It'll show up on our website and we'll say, we don't fucking care. Hello and welcome to another Beer and Loathing podcast. Man, it's like our second in 2 weeks. That's crazy. I'm Pete M. I'm joined by Sam Sly. And this week we are joined by our good friend Michael Biddick from Saugatuck Brewing Company. Hello, Michael.
What's going on, guys?
Those cold intros work every time.
I know. I just stop and then wait for somebody to say something and then continue talking.
Next time you can prep me on that one.
No. Yeah, you know.
No, there is never any prep. That's the best part, is I just make it awkward for everybody involved.